Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday night edition of Into the Night with me, Sean Kelly. And what a freaking rainy day. Oh my God, did it rain like cats and dogs. And, you know, it took a little break, but I think around 9 p.m. we're going to get some more rain, and it's going to rain all night and rain all day. I want to thank UPRN Talk Radio for allowing me to spend an hour with you on Tuesday night. I'm also on Sunday nights on UPRN Talk Radio 105.3, New Orleans 107.7, Mississippi. And don't forget, April 6th, this Saturday coming up, at the Dudas Farm in Brownsville, PA, that is 157 Creek Road, 15417, we are having that investigation, and it's an open. Hello, Leah, good to see you. And we're going to have an open investigation. It's everybody come all. It's for paranormal groups or individuals who want to enjoy an investigation, who've never been on an investigation before. Hey, Shannon, you know, come on down and do an investigation. This is going to be a great night. And my guest tonight, honest to gosh, God, you know, God bless him. I have on Roy White, my friend, who does the haunted corn maze down there on the farm. And I got one of the owners of the farm, and he has a list of stuff that is paranormal that happened on his farm. And so I have had people come up to me and say, well, what's so paranormal about the farm? And I said, well, listen to the show on Tuesday night, and he will be here. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Roy White and the owner of the farm, Mark Duda. Good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Good, good, good. Ah, thank you for being on. I think a lot of people are like really excited on the show tonight, and I really don't have a head count or what's going on, who's going to be there, who's not going to be there this Saturday, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully if it works out okay, we can do a yearly thing on this. You know what I mean? That would be pretty cool. So Roy, explain a little bit about what you do for the haunted corn maze, and then we'll get to Mark.
All right. So I'm basically the builder of everything. I design pretty much everything. Now, Mark himself, he's the one that actually designs the maze and cuts the maze. I just try to make it a little bit more difficult for him every year. Every time I put a building inside there that he's got to get around. And, you know, once there's buildings inside there, you got to hit the mark every time. You can't just wing it. You know, it's got to hit that spot or it's a nightmare. But okay. Now we're also on to last year we started a hayride, and it went over very well. And actually in July, we're actually doing Bloodfest, which is going to be a hayride. Multiple vendors. We're having mechanical bulls set up. Just there's a lot of stuff that's going on that can't go on during October. That's going to happen in July.
Oh, that's sweet. The bull ride. I ain't getting on that. I'll be down there for it. I ain't getting on that damn bull. Hey, Cindy Simpson. Good to see you. Thank you for coming on. So Mark, you're a co-owner with your brother, right?
That is me and my brother, Andrew.
Andrew. Okay. Well, tell us, Ashley says hello. Shannon Lewis said hi, and Leah Elizabeth Meyer says hello. Okay, so what got you into a maze? What got you into the whole haunted corn maze?
So the we've been doing corn mazes for about 30 years now. We do a fun family daytime activity. We've been doing it for years. It's pumpkin picking hay rides. It includes corn maze, the hay ride, pumpkin picking, all that stuff. But the whole reason why we started doing the hunt, I have to thank my son Tyler, and more importantly, it was his graduation party, and booked Roy with a mechanical bull have it at his graduation party. She wanted to do something extra and special. So that's when I met Roy. And when I met Roy, Roy said, he asked me if we ever thought about doing anything haunted at the farm. And I told him, I says, you know, we have for the past 30 years. We just felt like if we're going to do it, We want to do it right. We just don't want to wing it. We don't want to do it half-assed. We want to do it right. So, so me and him started talking, and he told me about his experience and his what he's done in the past. And we shook hands and said, let's do this. And so the first year since we started late, we only did the haunted corn maze. We just did the corn maze haunted at night. And like Roy said, last year we added the hayride along with the corn maze. Mm-hmm. And then, I can keep rambling on. I mean, we started talking about, you know, the different things that's happened here. I don't know if you want me to go right into it or if there's more things you have to say.
Not really, but I'm going to tell my people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now I got to tell you guys, we are on TV tonight. We're on Roku, okay? And also, the show tonight, Mark, is being broadcasted all over the world in different countries, Australia, New Zealand, China, Russia, everywhere. And so everyone's going to know about your farm.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there have been coming up to me saying, well, what are some of the things, what is the backstory? What are some of the things that are paranormal? And you were showing me a little bit of a list, telling me about a list you have. So I'm going to turn it over to Mark, and he's going to tell you why it's going to be an awesome experience down there at the farm this Saturday night at 8:00. Take it away, Mark.
Yeah. So, there's multiple things that's happened that we can't explain. And it goes back to even before I was born or if I was too young to remember. But my mom and dad, we've always lived. I grew up here on the farm. I grew up in mom and dad's house and always have been there. Mom and dad got the first story I'll tell you. And it's kind of funny because it's not really funny. Because it's feel like it's made its way back yesterday and today. But when mom and dad got a giant wooden fork, spoon and knife that came from Puerto Rico years ago. And it seemed like this is what I was told to me. My dad told me this story. My mom told me too. Both my mom and dad have both passed away. So these giant knife, fork, and spoon were hanging up in the kitchen, and they kept falling. They would not, no matter what my dad did to hang them up, they wouldn't stay up. They kept falling. And it was always like dramatic when they fell. It was all like something like they couldn't explain why this is happening. So finally one day, like, mom put the fork on my brother Andrew's desk, and then my brother had a excruciating migraine that lasted as long as that fork was on the desk. As soon as she moved that fork, it was like a few days later, realized the pain went away. One of them, I don't know if it was the knife, fork, or spoon, maybe all of them, put it outside on the doghouse. We had an old basset hound. And the dog was always good, would never howl much, you know. Well, what, you know, that dog freaking howled all night long, nonstop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Finally, it was one thing after another. There might be more to this. Like I said, I wasn't around for this, and just stories. And so finally, Dad says, you know what? I'm gonna burn them in this driveway. And there's a few different driveways at the farm, and when he burned it, it was like the oddest flame ever. Like it was just a really odd, abnormal color. And I swear to goodness, ever since that's been burned there, there's been issues with flooding in that driveway. I mean, like major flooding. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know, it's my driveway now. It washed out. I couldn't even use my driveway this morning. It was so washed out. Washed out 3 feet down. So it's like any time that floods, I blame it on the fork, the knife, the spoon. And I called my brother Andrew. He knew a lot more about it. I called him before this just to make sure I had, you know, because like I said, I was too young. It's like I tell you, we've had nothing but issues with that driveway ever since then. And I mean, we're talking like it never flooded before 20 times now, you know. But it really, really flooded again bad last night. And I was thinking, it must know that I'm going on his podcast or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, no, seriously. We had problems the last time, Roy. He couldn't get his computer working, so he ended up doing it on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, so I truly believe been in the business for a long time, and they know what's going on, you know what I mean? So how did your parents get a hold of this nice fork and spoon? Did they buy it? Was it give it to them or what?
So my mother's brother was a Catholic Capuchin priest and was the head priest of all of Puerto Rico. So he went to go, my mom, I don't think my dad went, but my mom and I think her sister went to go visit him. And I don't know the backstory of them. I don't know if it was given to them as a gift or where they got it from. I wish I knew more. My mom still has a few sisters that are alive. I guess I should inquire if they know any more. But I'll tell you this. When you're here Saturday, I'll take you to the spot where I think my dad burned it.
Okay.
Okay. Help at all or not. But, I mean, it is definitely legit. Actually, it's probably going to. I didn't quite fill everything in there because my next door neighbor said, let's just fill this hole in with concrete. And it's a pretty big hole. And so we're going to be, you're going to see it opened up on Saturday. And it was burned.
Okay.
Really crazy. That's one story. And you want me to move on to the next story?
Yeah. If I have any questions, I'll just interrupt you. That's
fine. Okay. So the next stories about Mr. Moho. Mr. Moho used to live in my brother's house. He is the original owner. I don't know if there was someone before him, but the house is hundreds of years old. So Mr. Moho lived there when my dad was building and lived in his house. So it's really close to the farm. We now own that as well. That's like I said, that's where my brother lives. But the story about Mr. Moho. Mr. Moho was I think he was, I'm not sure what he did for a living, but I know he was a farmer. He farmed the ground here. He hand dug a coal mine, which is on the property, which we'll see. And it's really close to the mine, the haunted Moho mine, which is right. You'll see it on Saturday. But so my dad, and I remember when my dad was in a hospital and he was pretty much on his deathbed, I was asking him all kinds of questions. And I was asking him about Mr. Moho and stuff. And I've heard this story before, but, you know, my dad passed away in 2020. I was asking him about Mr. Moho. So Mr. Moho died pretty much where the greenhouse is, where the actors get dressed. It was right in that area there, somewhere in that close to that area. So he died trying. There's a weed. It's a weed we have a lot of problem with. A lot of growers do. It's called Canadian thistle. It's a weed that has like burrs on it, and it comes back every year, and it's just a really hard weed to deal with. And he was trying to dig the roots down, and they have a really large, long tap root. He ended up having a massive heart attack when he was digging, trying to dig out this Canadian thistle. So years passed, and my dad, we have like an in-ground pool up near that area now, and my dad was up by the pool and this is years, like I said, past, and he saw Mr. Moho. Mr. Moho was walking towards him. This is after Mr. Moho died. And my dad could speak some Polish, and Mr. Moho spoke to him in Polish. And they had a few words, and he was there for, I guess it was probably less than a minute, and then he vanished. And I remember asking my dad on his deathbed what he said, and I wish I'd have written it down. I didn't write it down, but it was something like, is everything okay? And I think he said it in Polish. And I think Mr. Moho said, yeah, everything's okay. Mm-hmm. But crazy story about Mr. Moho is one of our employees years ago, he was a local, at the time, a kid. He's now a police officer. I don't know if I should say his name on air or not, but he.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. He lived right over the hill from us, and he was a good guy. Pretty stern nosed, like strong willed person, like a tough guy, right? You know, tough. Right. I'd be real curious to know when the anniversary was when Mr. Moho died, but I don't want to say the guy's name, but this person said he thought he saw our dad. And our dad was still alive then. And mm-hmm. my brother Andrew, and he was working, like I said, and my brother Andrew said, no, our dad's not here today. He's up in Somerset. And this employee turned white as a ghost. And he said, I swore I just saw your dad right there. And so my brother Andrew asked him how he was dressed. And he was wearing kind of like the clothes that Mr. Moho would have worn back when he was back in like the 1950s or 60s, whenever that was, you know, 60s, I guess 1960s, because Mr. Moho. Okay. But he turned white as a ghost. He said he was standing right there, and he said he thought for sure was our dad. I'm like, no, and there was no one else there that would look like that, you know. So that person saw Mr. Moho. So again, that's unexplained, you know, and it happens to be near, you know, where the actors get ready and where like the main base station of the farm is. And again, I'll show you roughly where that area is too. I mean, it's real easy to get to. I mean, I don't know exactly where he passed away, but I'll show you where my dad saw him, and I'll show you where the employee saw him.
That would be great, because I know a couple paranormal teams are going down there this Saturday. I know a couple, two or three, and they're good.
Okay, so good.
They're good. And
the last one that I have, it just happened. Though I know stuff's happened to Roy, and I always thought he was messing with me. But but this shit. So if anybody knows my brother knows that there's no BS. I mean, he tells you like it is. He's a straightforward, good person. I mean, as good as it gets. I mean, he just doesn't, you know, even with my mom and dad, I mean, is down to the point, honest, trustworthy, good as people's could be, you know. What happened to my, I'll just get to the point. What happened to my brother, Andrew, I was coming in from the fields, I was on the tractor, and there's a place where we have a 2-inch water line where city water, where I load up water if we're using it for hauling water to the fields for whatever reason. And I was just coming back to reload, and my brother, Andrew, was walking towards me. And again, this is kind of right where Mr. Moho was seen too. And as he got close to me, tears started coming out of his, down from his face. And my brother's not a very emotional person, you know. I mean, we all are our right moments, right? But not like in front of other employees and stuff. And he tried to talk to me, and he couldn't talk. And then it took him a while. And when he finally, he said, I just saw dad.
And I'm wow.
I'm like, what? And he said, I just saw dad. To me, it warmed my heart. It made me feel fantastic. You know, we were really, really close with our parents. I mean, really, you know, we loved, it was true love, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. mom and my dad, you know, they didn't do anything for us. Right. And I had a million questions for him, and he doesn't like to talk about it too much. He kind of, like I said, it kind of bothered him. And I asked him, like, where he was standing at, and it was right next to where that pool I was telling you about, and it's still mm-hmm. on a corner. And, Our dad was actually he had his PhD in microbiology. He was actually a microbiologist.
Think about it. This is crazy. I'm sorry to interrupt you. My son is a microbiologist. No lie. He's a microbiologist, and he got his doctorate, dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So my dad was actually, even right up to the day he died, he was still actually mentoring other people that were getting their doctorates in microbiology. Lived to be almost 90, and he was sharp as a tack right up to the end. But anyway, yeah, he was a microbiologist. So he worked at the Brownsville Hospital, Uniontown Hospital, Somerset Hospital. That's where he was in Somerset that day when we said, no, our dad's not there. But anyway, the person my dad saw of my, I mean, the person my brother Andrew saw of my dad, it was an older version of my dad. It was like him probably in his 50s or 60s. Like, he didn't have any gray hair. He just came home from the hospital. Now, our dad was, which you could say, a workaholic. He worked, he would go to the hospital every single day, including Christmas, including Thanksgiving, including Easter. He never took a day off. He would go from six, like on holidays, he'd go from 6 to 10:30, get some of his work done, and then come home and spend with the family. But he worked 7 days a week, 365 days a year at the hospital before he came home and worked the farm. That's just the type of person he was. And anyway, he was dressed in like he was an older version of dad, and he had, he needed glasses to read, but he would always wear them outside too, because they would always have that, you know, photo gray in it. It would get dark. And so Andrew said he had his glasses were on, and they were like a certain style of glasses. And he still had his dress clothes on from work. Like it would be a button down shirt and dress pants. And he was standing there, and Andrew said, he just had a mean look on his face, and he was just looking around. But our dad was kind of like when he was younger, he was kind of like, when we were young, we remember him being a meaner person, like just tough.
Right.
He never, ever, you know.
Ashley Lewis Gregor. Hi, Ashley. She's talking about Mr. Moho. He likes to open and close doors on the greenhouse. Hey, Carla. That's my buddy Carla Garbowski.
Sean, don't talk in the background. I invited Ashley onto the show. She wouldn't do it.
Well, oh, Ashley. Ashley. Okay, Ashley. Wait till you be there on Saturday. But we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll unleash the hounds. Who knows? And Harry Foster says, I would like to be there Saturday. Well, I hope you're there, Harry. It's going to be a great time. So have you, Mark, and then I'll get to Roy for a couple of questions. Mark, have you ever experienced, like your brother did, seeing any type of ghost or paranormal stuff?
There's a few things that's happened to me personally but they're so minor. The day that my dad passed, the morning, I was he was declining really quick, and he was home. He was in the living room, and right before I got the phone call to get down here right now, like he was taking his last breaths, a few things happened to me here at home, and I don't know if it was him. I don't know. There was a heavy ball that was on our kitchen table, and there was no reason for it to move, but it rolled off and fell on the ground. I'm like, what the heck just happened? You know, and no more than 10 seconds after that, the phone rang saying, you need to get down here now. That's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. Me personally, no. I will take that back. This is kind of indirectly, but one of my best friend growing up, his dad appeared to me in a dream on the night that he died. He apologized for not being at my wedding. We found out later that we didn't know that he died until a few days after, but that was kind of weird. And my wife, a few things happened to her. Like, my grandma spoke to her in her dreams the night that she died. And there were some other people too. Grandma told my wife to take care of her boys. And I think my uncle Basil, the one that was a priest, I think he spoke to my wife too. But other than that, no. And my uncle Basil, when he retired from being a priest in Puerto Rico, he actually lived in Mr. Moho's house until he passed. And he lived there. It was my mom and dad's house, but they let him stay in it as long as he was alive. So he was a retired priest, and he would help in the parishes around here while he was retired.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really tell me, but he told my brother Andrew again, I was too young, that he was asked to, I guess, exorcise some homes that were going on, you know, with holy water and and stuff. And I guess he saw some weird, crazy things at some homes locally around here, but not necessarily at the farm, but, you know, just relating things to paranormal that to mm-hmm. our, but,
that's cool. Yeah. Hey, listen, I got to take a break. We're going to take a 70-second break, come back, and then we'll get to you, Roy, for a little bit. And then
okay.
We can talk more about the farm and what people should bring or what how much of the farm we can investigate. Okay?
Sounds good.
So let me get 70 seconds. You got to pee, go pee. You need to light up a cigarette, go light up a cigarette. We'll be back in 70 seconds. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the second part of Into the Night with Sean Kelly with my guest Roy White and Mr. Mark Duda of Duda's Farm Incorporated. I want to thank UPR and Talk Radio for 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi, for allowing me to give this hour to you. Remember, I'm also on Sunday nights from 8:10 to 9:10 p.m. This Saturday, April 6th, 8 o'clock, we're having that open investigation down at the Duda Farm. And I got Mr. Duda here, Mark Duda. Hey, Squatch, man, good to see you, pal. He hunts squats. He's a good dude. And that's one of my other questions I'm going to ask you, too. Okay. And April 6th is Saturday, 8 p.m. Please come on down to the farm. It is at 157 Creek Road in Brownsville, PA. That's 15417. And it's going to be an open investigation for all paranormal groups and all individuals who would like to go and experience an investigation. And hopefully we'll see you all there. Oh, I also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring my show tonight. And so welcome back, you two. Hey, Kason, he's from Sri Lanka. That's my boy, Kason. And now, before we get in more of the farm, are there Sasquatch down in Brownsville? Are there Bigfoot down there in Brownsville?
I remember seeing some pamphlets, I think at the they were doing some sort of yearly thing about Sasquatch. I've never seen anything personally, but
the Patsy Hill Park up in Brownsville.
That's what it is. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. They're doing a big thing here coming, I think, a month or two.
Yeah. And I think it's been going on for a few years.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So do you think there's a Bigfoot there? There must be something there. Because if you're having a convention down there, I don't know, maybe because, you know, there's a lot of woods there. You've been out at night where all you do is hearing some knocking and not realizing it could be a Sasquatch down there around your area.
You never know, you know.
God knows.
No one comes around, Mark. Mark got a patch. He's got a whole pack of dogs he walks with at night.
It's funny you say that. I do hear coyote howling at night sometimes, you know, you'll hear them. Mm-hmm. I do have four dogs here. They're quite active.
Are they? Okay.
Cool. We'll get to,
we'll get to see him on Saturday?
I normally keep him in around other people because they're not super friendly.
Okay. All right. No, that's okay. We could talk about that on Saturday. But Roy, share some of your experiences. Well, and I know you did a while back.
How about if we, before we go into experiences, let's talk about what we're going to do this Saturday and let everybody know that this is a 100% free event for anybody to come to. And we want to let everybody know we welcome you all. We want you all to be safe, but please, please wear boots. It's going to be muddy on the farm. I mean, we, like Mark said, we got 3 inches of rain here. It's going to be muddy. I mean, it's going to be a good time, but it'll definitely be muddy. Yeah. And we can't stress that enough to, you know, be prepared for that.
What part, is there a certain part of the farm or can we have all through the farm?
We're going to do pretty much free reign. We'll walk you around, show you a couple spots, but we'll give you a lot of free reign at the farm for sure.
Yep. Yep.
Maria says, I heard rumors of Bigfoot by Thompson 1, where she lived there. And Leah says, thank you for mentioning boots. I was going to say something. Well, you should have been on the damn show, Leo, in order to tell us about the boots. You know,
right? That's another one of our actors there.
Okay, Roy, tell us about some of your experiences.
So just recently, I want to talk about something that's happened to me recently. I haven't got to tell Mark yet. So I've been working on Mark's dad's old garage. It was Mark's dad's old garage. He just kept old stuff in there. Mark and Andrew really hasn't touched it since their dad has passed. It's just like a... like everything was still in there. You know what I mean? So what we wanted to do was turn it around and turn it into our actor's room. Cause what we were using now is a greenhouse. It gets very cold and it gets very hot. So we wanted to actually find a structure that we could use. So what I did was we started cleaning everything out of it and get it into shape to do the actor's room. So I was over there the other day putting doors on and I was listening to music. Like I'm always listening to music and my radio just kept going off. My phone, it was like somebody was hitting pause on my phone. I was listening to Spotify and I mean, it would play for 5 minutes and it would just stop. I'd go over and touch my phone and, you know, hit play again and start playing again. That was very interesting. That was definitely very interesting. It only happens there.
Just in that area, huh?
It's so weird. I didn't, you know, at first I just blew it off. And then as it kept doing it, I'm like, something's going on here. You know what I mean? you know, it's okay for something to glitch one time, but when it glitches multiple times, you know, usually there's something else that's taking care of that glitch. And it's not, what do I want to say? A program, you know?
Okay.
my experiences on the farm. Oh boy. That pretty much starts from probably day 5 on the Mark's farm in the cornfield. The first thing that ever happened to me, I was setting up lighting in the middle of the night. I was at like a giant wishing well fountain. I had my ladder there setting up light on top of it. It was like an 8-foot fiberglass A-frame ladder. We got done working that night, so I just left it there. I mean, you know, who's going to talk to you in the middle of the cornfield? It's in no one's way or anything. So I go back the next day, and it's gone. So I go to Mark, and this is where Mark thinks that I was pulling his leg a little bit. You know, our relationships is only, it's less than 2 months old. We know each other. Mm-hmm. So I go to Mark and I say, hey, Mark, did one of the workers maybe come and grab the ladder out of the field? Did they need the ladder or something? He was like, no. You know what I mean? He's like, they wouldn't go into the field and get the ladder. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, it's gone. You know what I mean? And Mark's like, no one's ever taken anything off this farm. And I'm like, I just can't see him walking in the field and taking a ladder. And, you know, that's the only thing they take from the farm, you know? And, yeah. So I think a week went by and Mark was like, hey, did you ever find that ladder yet? And I'm like, nope. So finally my son was walking through the corn maze and probably 50 yards through a maze. The ladder was still A-framed, but it was actually thrown into the corn. It wasn't still sitting on a path. It was actually set inside the corn, a couple feet back inside the corn.
Oh,
just to chime in on that. When you're, there's nobody goes into corn maze in July or August when we're working on it. There's no reason for anybody to be in there. Nowhere near fields that we're picking. The only person that was in there was me and Roy and my brother and your son. And there was no reason for anybody else to be even close. They wouldn't even know where to go. You know?
Right. Like, yeah. So,
and just to chime in too, like Roy said, you know, our friendship, our relationship was so young. He thought he took his ladder, and I thought that he, and neither of those things. I mean, not no Roy, I know. And then some other things happened since then that I know that it's legit. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt there.
Oh, you're good. No, go for it, man. So, after that, maybe less than a week later, I'm back in the field again in the middle of the night, running electricity, running lighting, stuff like that. I had my son there. I had a friend there with me. My truck was on the outside of the corn maze. I had a Bluetooth speaker, which is battery powered. Had it sitting on top of my truck playing music while we were doing lighting and stuff. All of a sudden, the speaker goes powering off and shuts off. Well, usually that happens when the battery dies. So another 5 minutes go by, and the speaker says powering on, kicks back on, music starts playing again. And there was nobody out there. That's, I mean, there was definitely nobody out there, you know?
Well, Mark, did you do any research on your property from past investigations? I've been in the business for over 30 years. And whenever we go to a house or a business, it's not so much, you know, the house or the people who live there. The majority of it is the people who were living on the land before they built the houses. So have you done any research? Was there any kind of like skirmish between Indians and settlers down that area? Is there any kind of history at all like that?
I've personally never done any research. I do know there was Indians on in the area. I mean, we found arrowheads, we found Indian artifacts, all different things. We do know where there are Indian burial grounds. There's nothing right on our farm that we know of, but we know that there are a few that are really, really close. And then there was, there used to be I think it was called the, was it Redstone Distillery? There used to be a distillery on the property. Had a lined ditch that they buried, and it's still there, that where they ran spring water underground over to where the distillery was. It goes right through the middle of the farm.
Mm-hmm.
But that was years ago. I did see an old picture of the distillery. I'll be honest with you, I've never have done any research. It would be interesting to dig deep, you know?
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, now up there in Penn Trafford, I did a couple houses in this one housing plant, and they were basically having the same type of ghost, you know, the same spirit was, you know, doing the, like going to house, you know what I mean? Come to find out, it was back up in Penn Trafford. I don't know if you know about it, but they had Bushy Run Battlefield up there. Okay. And there was a lot of the settlers. Okay. A lot of settlers. And it was pretty interesting. So whenever we go to a place, or whenever I had my group, before we ever went to a place, we always did a little bit of a background, you know, check and see, because it's not so much the living right now, it's what happened in the past that actually can stir something up. Where Mr. Moho's house, say like your brother went in there and he painted it a different color, and Mr. Moho didn't like that, so he would raise a bunch of hell, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that, do you know what I mean?
I understand, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I do want to bring one thing up that also happened recently, and Mark was actually bear witness to this.
Yeah,
this is probably what happened about 2 months ago, Mark?
Right around Christmas.
Right around Christmas time.
Yeah. You're so breaking Mark, up, bro.
Mark sends me a message and asks me if I'm over there, if I was over in the farm working inside the cornfield where I have a fake bar set up. I told him no, I wasn't there. So then he sends me this video of the bar all lit up, the animatronics were going, the music was going, And all this stuff was unplugged. I mean, we unplugged it after the season. It hasn't ran since November. And for some reason, it was all fired up one night. And Mark actually still, I still have the video that Mark sent me of the whole bar just running by itself.
Yeah, we have an outside wood-burning furnace for our greenhouse. It's one of the ways we heat our greenhouse. So typically, like this time of the night, you know, I'll go down there and throw logs on that furnace. So I was going down there and I was throwing some logs in it. And I was like, what? Like, I looked up, you know, the corn maze just got mowed maybe a month before. And I looked up there and I was like, why is the bar all lit up? And then I started hearing music. And so I drove the Gator up there. And as I got closer, my heart started pounding more. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I mean, I was walking around the corner and it was eerie. I mean, my hair was standing all straight up. I'm like, it was like, and then, so I sent the video to Roy and I was like, what's going on here, man? This is really crazy.
Oh, my sis, Valerie. Hey Val, good to see you. She has a question. She says, you mentioned a mine.
Yep.
Coal mine?
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Mr. Moho hand dug a coal mine on the farm. I guess back then a lot of people did this, but it's still there. My dad was always worried about it in us kids. So he would put branches and things around it. So, but it's still there. Mm-hmm. You'll see it. You might be able to see it, especially if you have a spotlight, but the tailings still come out and you could see where the hole is. When I was a kid, me and my best friend went in it maybe 4 or 5 feet and you had to crawl, and we were scared to death. And
I would be too, man.
Yeah.
I'd be, me and claustrophobicness doesn't get along too well on that.
And plus you don't know what animals might be living in there or whatnot too. But anyway, it's still there. The mine is still there. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of ground that he moved, you know, and I don't know how far he went back, but I was told it was easily a few hundred feet, you know, but okay. He dug coal out of there to heat his garage.
Now, knowing what I do by investigating and been it for a long time, do you have any creeks or rivers close by? Because, you know, with water behind it really draws in the spirits.
We have a stream. So we live on Creek Road. So Dunlap Creek is the stream that flows right below Mr. Moho's house and my parents' house. And there's a small stream here right next to my house. It's right, you know, it's flowing. It's the one that washed my driveway out today. Okay. But yeah, and then the Monongahela River is about maybe 3 or 4 miles as a crow flies from here.
Okay. This,
Dunlap Creek here flows into the Monongahela River, right in Brownsville.
Now, I've done a couple investigations down in Brownsville, PA, and you know, I don't like I don't know about Brownsville. You have to get kind of used to it, I guess, by living in that city. That city of Brownsville, but that has a lot of history into it too.
Oh yeah,
Connellsville, Uniontown.
Yep.
I mean, that was that's like a, now is that considered Westmoreland County or is that considered Washington County?
We're in Fayette
County. Okay.
Fayette. I actually live in the town of Merrittstown. But I have a Brownsville mailing address. We're right on the edge of the Brownsville mailing address. But the town we actually live in is called Merrittstown.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Merrittstown post office.
So, okay.
But we have
Go ahead. Before we go on, we got about 15 minutes left. Well, actually about 7 minutes left because we have another show coming on after mine. But when you would hold these corn mazes, okay, when you would hold these corn mazes, haunted corn mazes, did anybody come in and tell you about some of the weird stuff that they have seen?
Me personally, no. With the haunted part with Roy, he's had more interactions with the public. But, you know, realize with us having the haunted farm here, you know, we have paid actors trying to scare the crap out of you while you're in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The actors have come to me.
Yes.
Told me they've seen stuff. Ashley's one of them. My neighbor across the road that accident, he's one of them, and he's a very straightforward guy, no bull crap. He said he chased somebody halfway through the maze and poof, they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
When people go through mazes, and I'll be the first one to admit it, I get like claustrophobic, okay, and if I don't know where in the hell I'm going, I go crazily insane. Is there like a, you know, just in case they freak out and they go into the maze and they just can't do it no more?
What'd you say? You broke up.
Oh, I did? Sorry about
that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Say like I'm walking through the maze and I get scared and I say, I can't take this crap no more. How do I get out? Do you guys come get me or what?
We come in and get you.
Okay.
Yeah, we tried a thing with trying to do safety exits to, you know, for not really safety exits, call them chicken exits, I guess. But when you cut a hole through corn, if you cut it a foot wide, by the time the end of the season, that foot wide tunnel is 3 foot wide tunnel.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just not feasible to do. It just messes up the experience. I don't want to have holes all through it and caution tape everywhere. I want you to see nonstop corn so you never judge where you're at.
Yep. There are people that the maze is too much for them because of what you said. And that's why we have the hayride. You know, it's a different attraction where it's not as intense. The corn maze could be pretty intense. You know, last year I was driving the hayride a lot, so I didn't get to go in the corn maze, but I love going into corn maze.
You made it. You designed it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Honest to God, Sean, Roy will tell you, like, when I don't have to drive tractor, I'm like, Roy, can I go to the maze? I mean, it's because actors don't know that I'm coming and, and they always get me.
Ashley says he still gets scared. LOL.
Go ahead. She's in charge of the maze. She's the entrance. You see Ashley when you come to the entrance of the maze. She gives you the rules and tells you what's going on and don't obey the rules. But he's be there all the time.
Leah says she always gets him, and Shannon Lewis says and lost. And Kason says, Sean, your show fly by fast. I know it did, buddy. I know it did. But I get 2 hours, and that's on Sunday night and Tuesday nights. But that's okay. We're gonna have him back on. Getting pretty close. Okay, what I need to know is, can you tell people what they need to bring, what they need to expect, any kind of where they can park, stuff like that?
You want to go this, Mark, or you want me to?
Sure, we both can. So,
okay.
The farm is not open yet. Like we are a fruit and vegetable farm. We have a farmer's market right at the farm. It's not open yet, so there'll be a whole area for parking there up and down the drive. You could park on the right side as you're coming up. If that fills up, then hopefully the yard dries out enough. But there'll be spots on the left as well. Anyway, from then, I think we'll probably have some lighting on. There'll be a bonfire right there in front when you get there. Bring boots. I think it's still going to be kind of chilly Saturday night. They're saying like high 50 Saturday. So, you know, definitely bring, you know, your heavier jeans or pants in a hoodie or jacket, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What else, Roy?
There's no vending machines on the farm. This is a true farm. We're not trying to get your money in any way. So if you guys want anything to drink, anything to eat, make sure you bring it with you. The closest store is probably, 5 minutes away, Mark, up at Sheets?
Yep, there's a
sheet. Oh, you got a sheet there. Okay.
Yeah, so it's on top of Brownsville Hill. That'd be about the closest store. Like I said, we will have do we have an outhouse there right now? Do we have something there right now?
There is there's a few Porta Johns on the property
right there, right? So we have that geared up there, so that's ready to go. But we definitely actually everybody, please wear boots. I can't stress it enough. We always stress it during October, and people still come wearing Crocs, and then they wonder why they fall down.
Oh my gosh! I got my waders.
Just to chime in too, we're not open at all. So like there's going to be trackers and equipment all over the place. Normally we're bonfires and there's equipment all over the place there because we're working. And when we come back build, that's where we park the equipment. So there'll be, it's a working farm.
Okay. And you know what? That's going to be an experience for me because I've never been on one. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm sure there's a lot of people down there that, that are coming or people are coming that never experienced a working farm. And I would like to come down one day during the summer when you guys are, just see how a farm works. Do you know what I mean? It just, that would be interesting. And before we close up there, Mr. Mark, I want to thank you and your brother for farming, taking care of the people of Brownsville and the people of the United States. I thank you. I thank you a lot. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there that feel the same way, because without you guys, man, there'd be no food. Do you know what I mean?
And then when
I hear in the news about how they're taking over farms, I promised myself I wouldn't say government in this show tonight, but how the government's taken over people's farms and stuff, it's just not right. But I want to thank you personally for doing that.
You're welcome. Thank you,
everybody. I appreciate it. Well, listen, thank you guys for being on tonight. Don't forget, everybody, April 6th, this Saturday, 8 p.m., please go to the Duda Farm, for the open investigation. And you can actually meet Mark and Roy and me. So thank you guys for being on tonight.
Thank you.
Shannon Lewis says, see you Saturday. Before you go, Ashley says, I'm wearing my Crocs. And Leah says that, and you most likely will slid at least once.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
See you Saturday.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. Thank you very much for watching this and interesting. All right, Kason. See you later, buddy. What a good show. I'm really happy that they got to come on. Heard a lot of stuff. So everybody who was wondering if there was any paranormal activity down there, there seems to be. I'm really looking forward to this. I really am. And I hope to see a lot of paranormal groups down there. And I hope to see a lot of people, individuals come down for that experience. We're going to see how it goes this year. Thank you, Cindy Simpson. Appreciate it. She says, great show. So we'll see how this goes this year. And maybe if it turns out okay, maybe we can do one later on in the year or sometime next year. Next year. But on that note, I want to thank everybody for being here. And again, I want to thank UPRN Talk Radio 105.3 and 107.7 Mississippi. And children, please, if you can, go to your parents and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children, give them a hug, and tell them that you love them. If you don't have no parents and if you have no children, find somebody to give them a hug and tell them that you love them. Because those three words, I love you, go a long way, especially in this crazy part of America around the world. So good night, everybody, and we'll see you this Sunday coming up. Bye-bye.